Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Girls are kind of lucky, don't they, Mom?
Why do you say that?
Well, they don't have to be smart. They don't have to get jobs or anything. All they got to do is get married.
Well, Beaver, being smart isn't exactly a drawback to marriage.
Well, if they don't get married, well, they can become dressmakers or cut people's nails in a barbershop or take care of kids and a lot of other dumb stuff.
Well, Beaver, today girls can be doctors and lawyers, too, you know. They're just as ambitious as boys are.
You mean there's no dumb people left in the world, Mom?
Beaver, is there something bothering you?
Well, kind of, Mom. We're having an intelligence test tomorrow in school, and I don't know if I'm going to pass it.
Oh, Beaver. Beaver, of course you will. Your father did very well in school, and I got good grades. You had a grandfather that was a professor. Why, he was considered practically a genius.
Yeah, it's nice having all that smart stuff in the family, Mom. I just hope it didn't all get worn out before it came to me.
All right, it's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. So in the 1950s, TV family comedies were just coming of age, but there was one that really set the tone for family sitcoms for decades. The Emmy-nominated Leave It to Beaver ran for 234 episodes from 1957 to 1963 on CBS and later ABC. Wives and mothers were always in the kitchen in high heels and pearls. Husbands ruled with a kind but firm hand, and kids needed to know their place and practice good manners. And Leave It to Beaver followed the everyday adventures of young Theodore Beaver Cleaver and his older brother Wally. And whether at home or at school or playing around their suburban neighborhood, Beaver always managed to get himself into some kind of trouble, learning each valuable lesson life had to offer along the way. Alongside baseball and apple pie, Leave It to Beaver reigns supreme in the pantheon of Americana. And joining us celebrate over 60 years of this legendary sitcom is Jerry Mathers, who played the Beaver, and Tony Dow, who played Wally. Gentlemen, welcome back to Chicago.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thrilled to have you both. Thrilled to have you both join us. Both of you are TV legends, and did you ever think in your wildest dreams, 60 years later, you'd still be celebrating this iconic program, Jerry?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, when Leave It to Beaver was on, it was always very popular, but it was never like the number one show. It was always in the top 10. But, you know, it just had something that people, when we did the first 6 years, and there's 234 episodes, and they started in reruns, and it started playing every day, people just really liked it. Kids would come home from school and start watching it. We gained a whole new audience. When it was made for the first time, it was thought of more of as an adult show, so it would show late, like 7 or 8 o'clock at night sometimes. So when it went into syndication is when it really became popular.
What's your thoughts on this, Tony?
Well, I think that, you know, based on the fact that we're probably the longest-running scripted TV show, that there was something good in there, and I think it was the writing. I think the writers, Joe Kame and Bob Mosher, did a fantastic job. And, you know, if you look at a show today, it still holds up. You know, it still talks about kids, the way kids always are and always will be, and so I'm really proud to have been part of it.
And thank God after 60 years, all those residual checks just keep piling up in the mail every single day, right?
Oh, yeah, man, we're so big.
But six seasons of the show, you both essentially grew up in front of millions of viewers. But how wonderful is it that your life is so well documented and preserved, Jerry?
Well, it's interesting to see yourself. I mean, you know, those obviously weren't the things that Tony and I were doing because, you know, we had our own families, and Barbara and Hugh were very, very good friends of ours. But, you know, I didn't think of Barbara as my mom or Hugh as my dad, or honestly, Tony is my brother. He's always been, you know, an idol. He's a great athlete and always been somebody I looked up to. But I have, in fact, it's kind of funny because I'm the oldest in my family. I have a sister and three brothers, and Tony has an older brother, and he's actually the Beaver in his family.
It's funny how that worked out. Yeah, I like that. I like that. But I mean,
I stayed out of trouble more than you did.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Jerry, I wanted to start with you a little bit. You know, you started modeling for a department store really young, at like a couple years old. Then you did a TV commercial. But Jerry, your first big appearance on the small screen, I think, may have been on the Colgate Comedy Hour?
Well, I did a lot of things. I did, you know, all sorts of New Year's things. And anytime they needed a baby in diapers, I was there at 2 and 3 and 4 years old. I did a lot of pet milk commercials and things like that. And, you know, at that time, those were all live shows. So if you had a child that was 2 or 3 and you told them to do something and they did listen and kind of do it, you were the one that worked all the time because they couldn't take a chance that you get out there, panic, run away, start crying or whatever.
Sure. And you did a handful of movies, too, you know, long before Leave It to Beaver, including Alfred Hitchcock, his film The Trouble with Harry. And
Billy McLean's first movie.
Yeah, and you got to know him a little bit, too, didn't you, over the years?
Oh, absolutely. And then when he was doing Alfred Hitchcock Presents, it was like three stages down. He'd only come in about once a month because he just did the intros and the exits from those shows. But I'd always see him. He was a really nice fellow. He always came in a big Rolls Royce and would say hi, and the chauffeur would drive, but he'd roll down the window and go, "Oh, hi, Jerry. How are you doing today?" And
wow.
You know, I just thought he would be a really good, not a good friend, because obviously he was, you know, an older man. I was just a child, but he was always very, very nice.
That's very cool. Well, the audition for Leave It to Beaver came, and you were more interested, and I love this story, in going to your Cub Scout meeting than going back for the callback, and you told producers just that.
Well, yes, because what you don't understand, though, is it wasn't like the very first time. Leave It to Beaver, they interviewed in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, because they were looking for so many different characters, Wally the Beaver, Eddie, Lumpy, all those different characters, they had between maybe 2,000 to 2,500 kids on the interview. And so you'd walk in, and instead of being an interview where you were, in fact, most of the time when I went on interviews, you would be going with kids you knew, because they'd say, you know, the mother and father have this color hair and this color eyes, so we wanted, and then you'd be like 6 kids. Well, all of a sudden, they just said they wanted Wally and the Beaver, who, you know, nobody knew what that meant, 2 brothers, and then all their friends. So they had people from all over coming out for the interview, and we just kept going back and back. And, you know, each time the group would get a little smaller, but it was still a lot of people.
Was it a group kind of interview, or did they actually bring you in the room separately at that time?
No, well, sometimes they'd bring you in with another person, and we didn't know what that was for at the time. But that was to see how we would, you know, kind of hook up, like
chemistry.
Lumpy, yeah. No, with Lumpy and Eddie and, you know, Gilbert and Whitey and all my friends. So, you know, they were saying, well, maybe this one would be a good Whitey. So they weren't even casting the original, like Wally and the Beaver.
Sure.
Even though they hadn't picked them yet, they were also looking for the Cinderella cast.
Now, Tony, your mom was in show business long before you were born, and you didn't do really any acting early on, and it wasn't about your mom. You were in swimming, you were a diving champ, and, you know, big athlete, and you went to an audition with a friend from your swim club, I think, and that's what started your interest, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he was a lifeguard at a pool that I worked out at, and we looked kind of alike, so he was going out for a series called Johnny Wildlife, and he asked my mom if I could go with him, because, you know, in Hollywood, you want to always do something that's memorable at an interview. So he thought that might make him stand out. Of course, I got the job. He didn't, which was too bad for him, good for me, I guess. And then and then they had made the pilot. Jerry made the pilot with Barbara and another actor as Wally, another actor as Hugh. And the show sold with the understanding that they were going to recast the father and the Wally character. So anyway, they'd already seen these, you know, 2,500, 8,000, however many people, kids there were. And so they knew who was available. Well, this old-time Hollywood legend producer, Harry Ackerman,
right,
was assigned to be the executive producer on the show. And he came on and he said, you know, I work with this kid. He's pretty green, but you might want to take a look at him. So that's basically how that all happened. I had no idea what was going on most of the time.
But, you know, it was.
I have to tell you that Tony was also a champion AAU swimmer and diver, so he really fit the Wally part. That's what he was before he started Leave It to Beaver. He'd done one other, I think, series, which was a wildlife show where he did a lot of swimming and diving. But that's, you know, where his forte really started, was as a swimmer and diver.
And doesn't it surprise you both, though, with the thousands of people that you auditioned against, that you guys were the final two that got the role in this legendary sitcom? I mean, I think about that. Thousands of people, and you two are it, right?
I guess somebody had to be it.
Yeah. No, we went, Tony, I don't think, went on as many, but I'd been going on interviews since I was 2 years old. So, you know, I always figured anyone you get's a good one.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Tony. Were you going to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, imagine the intimidation I felt when, you know, I'm working with Jerry, who's been working for 10 years already, and doing live television and doing all this stuff, and I've never done anything. So they got me a voice coach, but it was a little intimidating because Jerry was, he was always perfect. He never missed a line. He never missed the timing, got every joke and whatnot, and I'm struggling along trying to catch up, but I think I finally did.
Very complimentary, but I wasn't that good, let me tell you.
Well, how many years are you guys apart? Is it like 5 years apart? What is it?
No, I think three, right, Jerry?
Three.
Okay. All right, so Jerry, how old were you when you got the role?
I was about 8. We did the pilot. Now, Tony didn't do the original pilot, so that I think I did when I was 7, and it took a real long time to sell. They, you know, were shopping it around and shopping it around, and then when we decided to go into full production in 1957, then they said, well, actually, the father that they had for the pilot and the Wally character, they replaced. So Hugh Beaumont and Tony came in, and, you know, that was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, because Tony was actually, I'm the oldest in my family. Funny enough, Tony is the youngest in his. And so suddenly I had an older brother.
Yeah, that's cool. No, that's very cool. But at 8 years old, you kind of, you do have a memory at 8 years old. What do you remember from those early days on the set?
You know, it was just a really, they went out of their way to pick people that were family people, like the grips and the camera people on the show. So the people that, and we were working for 39 weeks, so we do one episode a week for 39 weeks. Wow. So you were spent a lot of time with these people, but all these people had kids at home. And the one thing about working with a child is if they don't want to work, you really can't threaten them or make them. So not that Tony and I had, you know, had any problems. We really liked it there. But everyone, between scenes, we'd go out and throw baseballs and footballs. That's and so cool. It was almost like a big, happy family.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was great. We had a good time on the lot. I have a fun story, I think. Joe and Bob would have people come in who were writers to pitch story ideas. And then, you know, they would change things around, and then they'd have the person go out and write the script. Well, what happened with these guys is when somebody came in and started telling them this fabricated story about, you know, the boy and his brother doing this, this, and this, Joe and Bob would shake their heads and say, forget about all that junk. Tell us the worst thing that ever happened to you when you were a kid.
That's great. Well, it made it real.
And that's why the show ended up being so identifiable.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It made it real. And I know I read about that they just wanted some true-to-life stories, you know, and not just go for the yucks. They weren't just going for the cheap laughs that a lot of sitcoms were doing at the time. They wanted it to be real and relatable.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's the difference, yeah.
Now, the show was shot in a single camera, and as a result, surprisingly, I think some people might be surprised, not in front of a live audience, right, Jerry?
No, it was shot just like a movie. It was on 35-millimeter film, and, you know, so you do a master shot, which is everybody walks around and does whatever they do, and then they go in for the different close-ups and two shots and over the shoulders and things like that. But it was shot exactly like a movie instead of being like a lot of the shows were at that time, live or even taped in the later years. We were shot, and then they do a long shot, and they go in for close-ups, two shots, and so, you know, they could pick the best take for whatever they wanted.
That's very cool. And you first filmed at CBS, but then you got to go film on the Universe a lot. That must have been a big change and also pretty cool.
Well, we actually were at Universal the whole time, although Universal didn't exist in the television world when we started. We were at a studio called Republic. Studios,
yeah.
And MCA owned a TV company called Review Studios or Review Productions or whatever. And when they started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, they outgrew the lot, the Republic lot, and they purchased Universal. And then we moved. I think it was the third year, maybe, we moved over there.
Yeah. Jerry, what do you remember?
Well, I just remember, you know, very, very good times. The first, you know, when we walked in, I was in the pilot. Tony didn't do the pilot. The only people that did were Barbara and myself. So when we came to do the show, you know, suddenly I met Tony, and he was in some ways a little intimidating. He was this great athlete. He hadn't really worked a whole lot as an actor, but he was an AAU swimming and diving champ. And so he was really an interesting person to get to know, and, you know, somebody that you could very definitely want to be like. And I can remember Tony could take like 4 or 5 steps and do a front flip and land on his feet, and I know I couldn't do that.
That's cool. That's cool. Well, you know, what I really found interesting about the show, and I was born in 67, so I'm now growing up with the show, watching the reruns in the 1970s. And what I always looked at it as, it was a story told from the kids' point of view, because every single show was from the adult point of view. And I can't think of another show that was like that. Maybe the Wonder Years back in the
Wonder Years,
late
80s. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, right. But it really, I think, was also relatable to younger kids because it was told from your point of view.
Right.
Well, and
it was stories that everybody went through as a kid. Sorry, Jerry, go ahead.
No, but just like Tony said, everybody went through it because all the stories were from real life. It wasn't people going in and just writing jokes and saying, oh, if we could do this, then we could write this joke into it. It was things that really happened to kids, and things that happened to kids in the 50s are still happening to them today.
Absolutely.
You know, Joe and Bob had like 7 kids between them. So Ricky was Joe's, I think, youngest son, and he was the pattern for the beaver. I mean, he was the guy that would come home with these crazy stories, and he was a bit of a wild child, so he had some good stories.
Yeah, I bet he did. And you know what? Again, from real life, and I think that's what makes those so unique. And I always found it entertaining because, you know, obviously Wally was older than the beaver, and when he would explain things, you know, when Wally, you would explain things to the beaver, because of the age difference, maturity difference between the two, it always didn't get translated in the right way, and that's how I think the character of the beaver always got into a little bit more trouble.
I think he'd get into trouble anyway.
It's, you know, I think it was an interesting structure for a series, because you had Mom and Pop, who were the adults, and then you had Wally, who was sort of the interpreter, and then you had the kid who... Any time an adult says anything to a kid, you're up for grabs as to whether the kid's going to take it the way the adult meant it, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So Wally was always the person who kind of simplified things for the beaver or complicated things for the father.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely did. Well, all right, more with Jerry Mathers and Tony Dow on the 60th anniversary of Leave It to Beaver, coming up next on 720 WGN.
Boy, Beaver, wait till the guys find out you're hanging around with a girl. Boy, they'll really give you the business.
But gee, Wally, you hang around with girls, and the guys don't give you the business.
Well, that's because I'm in high school. You can do a lot of stuff in high school without getting the business.
Leave It to Beaver.
Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN, and we're talking to two TV legends, Jerry Mathers and Tony Dow, about their upcoming appearance in Chicago and the 60th anniversary of classic sitcom Leave It to Beaver. And Jerry, I'm going to ask you first, do you watch the shows now, like Leave It to Beaver, and watch them now and embrace them differently as you watched them decades ago?
Well, truthfully, I have. I don't watch it. You know, it's something that I did in the past. And, you know, the thing is, when you watch it, I find for myself, there's always things that you say, oh, I wish I'd have done this differently or that differently. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can maybe repair it for the next one, but it's usually not the case because the next one doesn't come up. But no, you know, I have watched it, but I don't religiously turn it on every time it's on.
Gotcha. How about you, Tony?
Well, you know, in the beginning, when the show was originally aired, Joe and Bob, the producers, didn't want us to see it, so they told our parents, look, we don't want these guys to get big heads thinking they're funny or anything, so let's not watch the show. So I never watched the original shows, and so I've only maybe I've seen them all. I don't know, but I don't make an effort to sit down in front of it, but, you know, it's crazy. My wife and I went down to Mexico. We were in Cancun. And the first thing we did was the guy walks us in, he turns on the TV, and there's June and Beaver having a discussion. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool, though. But, I mean, the series, as you said, has lived on for 60 years. It's really never gone off the air. And the show was merchandised so well, too. It was one of those first shows that was really actually merchandised, too, with books and records and comic books and cereal boxes and board games. As kids, did you find that to be pretty surreal, Jerry?
Well, you know, we really didn't know what was going on. I mean, you know, like at Christmas, they would send you the board game and say, okay, now this is going to be sold. And, you know, it was nice, and you saw your face on it. But, you know, it was just something that we didn't even really think about. You know, we were working 39 weeks a year, and basically it was either 9 to 6 or 8 to 5. And we went to school on the set. So we were pretty busy learning lines and then having to keep up with our schoolwork.
Yeah. How about you, Tony? Do you remember any of that stuff?
Well, all I remember is Universal did pretty well with it because I think there was something in both our contracts, but you know, a studio is a little tough to keep track of. So I know later on when we did the new series, we got a new contract for merchandising, and of course from that point on, when we had the new contract, they theoretically didn't sell a thing.
Yeah, great. Yeah, great. You know? But, you know, you guys were talking about 39 episodes a season. I mean, you think about it now when you see a Netflix show or something on Amazon, they're doing 10 episodes. You think about almost 40.
That's if you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky, yeah. But 40 episodes a year. I mean, that was pretty aggressive back then.
Well, all the shows, I think, did that, didn't they, Jerry? My Three Sons. And
39 was, you know, if you were a good show, like your first year, you may only make 16 or even 10.
Yeah.
But if it was a popular show, they immediately went to 39 because they were thinking, because most of the shows before that hadn't been on film, that they wanted things to run in the afternoon. So just like Leave It to Beaver is the longest running show because it plays, you know, every afternoon after school.
Right.
So that's what they were looking for, which shows it would have
some life,
sustainability.
Yeah, and this was one of the first sitcoms really ever, because when there was a last episode, you didn't know it was a last episode, and you could recycle through. There was actually, it was called The Family Scrapbook. It was kind of an intended, this is it kind of episode, Jerry, right?
Well, you know, every year was this is it. We did 39 a year, but we wouldn't know when we quit doing that 39. We started in 1957, but each year they'd say, well, you know, we don't know whether we'll come back. You're under contract, so they didn't pay you, but, you know, they expected you to wait until the next season came up to make sure that they could sell it, or, you know, because we had different sponsors. They'd look for, you know, like Remington Rand was one of our sponsors, or different people. Different companies. So you just never knew whether or not you'd be picked up or not.
But that last year, Tony, you kind of knew that was probably it, right?
Yeah, well, I think what happened was, you know, Jerry was making a transition into high school. I was making a transition out of high school into college. And they thought that, you know, this is probably a pretty good time. But I hear, and Jerry, you can verify this, that the real reason was that color was coming to television. And the network wanted Leave It to Beaver to be shot in color, which the producers didn't want to do because it took a lot more time and was a lot more difficult. And also, they wanted it to be run for an hour, which what situation
wow.
comedy runs for an hour.
Wow.
So basically, the guys just said, look, we're not going to do that to the show. So
let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's wrap
right.
it up.
They just said, we've got 6 years. We've got 234 episodes. That'll be great for syndication. The way the show is made, you know, even though it's an adult show and kids love it, it can play after school every day. So right now, as I say, it's the longest running show in television history. They definitely made the right choice.
You know, in normal sitcom life, you need to do today 11 or 12 seasons to get to that count for episodes.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that it was only that a little bit of time. Jerry, you graduated from Berkeley. You spent time in the Air Force, International Guard, but you also continued acting and being very active. Over the last decades?
Well, you know, I had a lot of things to mark off my to-do list. I was on Broadway. I did Hairspray on Broadway.
Yeah.
That was something as an actor. I actually started out at 2 years old on live TV. I've worked with Hitchcock. I did movies with Bob Hope. So I just wanted to get, you know, that Broadway off the checklist. So, yeah, you know, I've hit a lot of those bells for being an actor.
That's very cool. And Tony, you acted and you directed too after the show ended, but you're also an artist.
Right. Well, I directed the last 16 years, I suspect, of my entertainment career.
Yeah.
And then, and I'd always had this fantasy of, you know, when I retired, becoming a sculptor. And so that kind of happened. I hadn't planned on retiring as early as I had, but I had some health issues. So anyway, it's been very interesting. My whole life has been doing a bunch of things that people hadn't done before. So, we worked at Florida for the first time before anybody else had worked down there at the Universal lot. And anyway, there were a number of things.
Well, both of you have had such great success in your life. And now you're appearing this weekend at the Hollywood Show right here in Chicago, this Saturday, March 17th and Sunday, March 18th at the Hyatt Rosemont, 6350 North River Road. It's a great celebrity and memorabilia event. Do you guys love going out there and still shaking hands and meeting people, Jerry?
Oh, absolutely. It's always nice to meet the fans, and, it's great that they come out, and, everybody has that one question that they've always wanted to ask about the show, something that they've noticed or something that they didn't notice. So, and half the time, Tony and I kind of look at each other and go, I don't know.
That's great.
But it's always fun to try to come up with an answer for them.
Yeah, sure. I bet it is. How about you, Tony? I mean, is this something you still love doing, pressing the flesh out there?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I mean, in the beginning when these shows started, which was quite a while ago, I wasn't real enthused about doing them. But once they became so mainstream, I mean, you'll find Richard Dreyfuss or Pat Boone, everybody takes part in these shows. So I began to get more comfortable with it. And then when Jerry and I did it, started doing it, then I felt much more comfortable.
Yeah, these shows are a ton of fun. And right, you get to meet all kinds of celebrities, but there's always one signature group that gets together and they kind of call it a reunion. And that's, of course, both of you doing this as well. So again, this weekend, it's the Hollywood Show right here in Chicago. You can meet Jerry and Tony this Saturday, March 17th and Sunday, March 18th at the Hyatt Rosemont, 6350 North River Road. It's a celebrity and memorabilia event. And for more information, you can visit HollywoodShow.com. And Leave It to Beaver, again, has never stopped airing. So here in Chicago, it can be seen on MeTV every weekday morning in back-to-back episodes beginning at 7 a.m. Jerry and Tony, really, what a pleasure it has been kind of walking down memory lane with you and celebrating this fantastic sitcom. Jerry, thank you.
Oh, thank you very much for having us on.
And Tony, thanks for taking the time as well, pal.
Yeah, we've enjoyed it. It's great. And tell all your people there to come in and ask us a question.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll come up with a good one.
We'll have answers, though.
Sounds great, gentlemen. All right, thanks again.